All right, if you would turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, Revelation chapter 3, we've been I've been preaching some messages on this of do not let anyone take away your crown. Do not let anyone take away your crown. So, well, where do you come at that, Brother Jim? Well, our Lord Jesus warns us about such. We've seen about the crown of life, the crown of glory, the crown of rejoicing. And that they are indeed incorruptible crowns given by our Lord. It's His business. It's His work. You and I are called to be faithful. Nevertheless, these things are at hand. And if the Lord tells us about them, we need to know about them and pursue as the Lord has given us and instructed us in His word. In Revelation 3, verse number 7, to the church at Philadelphia, our Lord is speaking, and to us, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, Revelation 3, 7, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Speaking about a particular thing there in regards to that church, and may the Lord help us that we would do the same. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. And I've mentioned several times, there is certainly a message right there in that, the word of my patience, keeping the Lord's word with cheerful, hopeful endurance, constancy, continuance through tribulation. I tell you what, I don't do good at that. May the Lord help that we would keep the word of his patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So the Lord here gives command, gives instruction to us to hold fast what we have, that no man take our crown. We've taken a look at other passages, Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8 there, where it says for us to beware lest any man spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. We took a look last time over in 2 John, the book of 2 John, there in verses 4 through 9. And we took a look there what it says in verse number 8, the target verse for that passage. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, which we have worked. Our works, our faithfulness to the Lord in obedience to Him and His instruction to us, but that we receive a full reward. We've been looking about how can it be that someone would take our crown? They're not going to physically take our crown in glory. It's not going to be the case. We've looked at that. But here on earth, as we look to serve and obey our Lord has warned us that men can take away our crown. Now, how is that? And this evening, we just want to get a little bit deeper into how it can be. We took a look at things that you and I could do that our crown be taken away, some things that we could not do that our crown be taken away, things of obedience or things that we need to beware of and stay away from. But tonight, we want to just focus upon the way of man. And understand, can somebody that's following after righteousness and the truth of the Lord and His word and the way of the Lord that He gives us and instructs us in, can somebody like that take away your crown? Not if they're following those things. Not if they're admonishing to follow after the Lord and the Lord's way. So the instrument, the vehicle, what is it that would be used for what the Lord's warning is unto us, that no man take thy crown? What is it? Well, it's all these things of the flesh. It's all these things that are the result of sin in mankind. I pray that we know and believe that by lying, deceit, and seduction, men and women can take our crown. Why? Not the where they come up to us and take something away from us in the physical sense, but by the things that they would promote to us, by the things that they would bring to us. And it involves this lying. It involves deceit. It involves seduction indeed. If we succumb to these things, our crown can be taken away. And so let's look at a few verses here tonight. In Romans chapter 3, when I say to you Romans chapter 3, what is it that you think of? I've titled this passage here in Romans 3. It ought to be a familiar passage. It's a passage that we can certainly use to talk to folks about our natural condition. Somebody talks about how good they are. Well, you see this, what the Lord says about it. This is a summary of passages in the Old Testament that the apostle has culminated and brought here together. And so how is it that our crown could be taken away? What's the vehicle? What would be the thing that would be used? What would be the thing that would be presented? And understand, this one that the Lord is referring to that could take away our crown, they won't even know what they're doing in regards to our spiritual blessing and benefit. They just are following their own way of their flesh. And we'll see what's described here about it. Here in Romans 3, verse 10 through 18, we have the catalog of mankind's wicked way, don't we? The catalog of mankind's wicked way. As it is written, Romans 3, 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. This is our natural self. This is you and me, naturally. Okay? This is how we were totally and completely before the Lord visited us and saved us. This is yet what the flesh and the mind that is not saved is still capable of. Okay? So we need to know this. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, this is you. Brother Jim, that's kind of hard. I tell you what, it's the truth that the Lord tells us. If you're here and you're not saved, this is you. This is you. This is the reason you need a Savior. This is the reason you need rescued. Verse 13, their throat is an open sepulcher. Can you imagine that? A grave opened up, a sepulcher hewn out of a rock, or those mausoleums that are made into which folks are, caskets are placed in. Their throat is like a sepulcher that has been opened up. It's cold in there. It's dark in there. It is smelly in there. It is full of death. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. The poison of the dreaded snake there of the Middle East. Brother Mark brought out about how the Egyptians worshiped snakes and was a god of the Egyptians. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The catalog of mankind's wicked way is revealed and summarized here. How is it that our crown could be taken away by someone? Well, not physically that they would come and rip anything from us, but that they would seduce, that they would lie, that they would tempt, that they would deceive in these things that just come natural to man. The very things that you and I have been saved from. In Romans chapter 1, here the apostle greets the church at Rome, and then he tells about the wonderful blessing of the gospel. He tells about how mankind does know that God is there, doesn't know who he is naturally, but does know that God is there by the very things that we see. That's the reason the evolutionist has looked to. You can't deny what you can see right here with your eyes. But what they've undertaken is to deny the way it got here, the way that it's arrived at the way that it is. Not a grand, glorious, marvelous, all-powerful creator that created this thing some 6,000 years ago, but billions and zillions of years and happenstance, as it was said by someone here, a quote that was sent to me. There's no way that evolution can be true because you can't get a book. Oh man, I've really lost it. You can't get a book by blowing up something because it just won't work. You can't by blowing something up, you're not going to get something that's going to be orderly and a move up because it's destruction. It's the hand of the Lord. Sorry to do that. I should have done my research and looked back. Nevertheless, here, the Lord tells us that what man does when he looks after God, when he knows God is there, that we have naturally by the things that we see, by our own very person, we know that there is one higher than us. We know that there is a void, that there is a space within us that needs to be filled, and mankind naturally just goes to and fro looking to fill that. But then as we look for God, we miss him every time because we misunderstand him. We misunderstand his greatness. We think he's like us. We think he's like the creation. We think he's like this. He's like that. He's the other. And we miss the God. And what that does is it just devolves uncleanness in verse number 24. Vile affections in verse number 26, a reprobate mind, which we see in our day in verse number 28, so much the cycle of nations and the cycle of peoples over the course of history and antiquity. These cycles have existed. People have come up and down and all around that have known other nations that have never known God, nations that have known God. Our nation that has known the Lord from the standpoint that he is the Almighty, we live in a day that the reprobate mind is rampant, isn't it? Indeed. Then we see this in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. How is it that others could take away our crown? By lying and deceiving and seducing with unrighteousness, legal injustice, moral wrongfulness, fornication, or harlotry. It's a great seduction in our day, isn't it? The pornography industry is rampant, and the thing is, as we see, pornography has been introduced into our day-to-day lives. Advertising is rampant with pornography. And it just creeps. That's what it does. It creeps in the media, in the programming, in the entertainment. It just creeps and creeps and creeps. Wickedness, which is depravity and just the depraved way of man. How is it that someone can take our crown? To seduce us into these things, into these ways. Covetousness, wanting that which is another's. Wanting maybe not necessarily their stuff, but maybe someone that they have. You know, I mean, that's how adultery gets going, is somebody's covetous of somebody that doesn't belong to them. Amen? It's just covetousness. People can be covetous just of the person's characteristic and way, and they look to destroy them. I think that we're seeing that. It's an element of what we see in the political scene today. One element of it. Covetousness that others are regarded and received, and it just makes others burn. And they cannot stand it. And they will work and move to destroy. Maliciousness is there with it. Getting back. Vengeance. And worse. Full of envy is very much parallel to it. Also, isn't it? This of covetousness and maliciousness. You know, get sold on envy. You take the bait on envy. And I tell you what, it'll ruin a person, ruin a family. It's being done today, isn't it? I mean, it's like a scorecard. It's like a game plan for our culture today, isn't it? What we read here. How can our crown be taken away? We'd be seduced into going after an envious way, an adulterous way. We'd be seduced and deceived to go into a malicious way. Get back. What's it go on to say? Murder, the taking of life. The devaluation of life today is at the source and at the root of all these people pursuing infamy, wanting to go out themselves, wanting to commit suicide themselves and take as many with them as they can. It's a wicked, wicked thing. It's a wicked, wicked thing. Debate. This is another one. Quarrel and wrangling. Debate. We live in a day where the moral compass has been destroyed, has been taken away, has been talked down. The moral compass of the Word of God and the direction of God, command of God given to mankind in the way that we should live, the way we should be toward Him, the way we should be toward one another. And we've entered into a time now that the issue really doesn't matter. At times, okay, hear me out here. If I just don't like you, I'm going to take the opposite position of you just to do you in. True? See, truth is gone. See, there's not a pursuit of what's true and stand for that. And if we agree on the truth, even if we might disagree on other things, but we agree on an issue, we agree on an issue. Now, if it's an enemy, they're an enemy in everything. Even if I might have some things that I might agree with them on, I will never reveal it. I would argue against it. Debate. You know, there are those that are very good at debating. And they like to debate for the sake of the debate. And we'll look to take the counterpoint, irregardless of truth, just to enter into the debate. We see it. We see it in our day. And the thing is anyone that would be good at quarreling and wrangling, debate can be used in a good way. But if it is used just to take the counterpoint, even when the counterpoint is untrue, we need to watch out for the effect on the character and the lack of character at hand. Just because a supposed or believed enemy takes position A, I might agree about position A, but because they hold the position A, I'm going to cleave now to position B as I deal with them. That's just not honest. It's not honest whatsoever. Debate. And in that deceit, it's listed there near it, and that's what it is. Malignity, not a word that you and I use, not a word that I use often, but it's talking about bad character. I think we talk about, and we need to be careful, we talk about children being mischievous. I tell you what, things that maybe are cute when they're 2 or 3 or 4 aren't too cute when they're 16, 17, or 18. We need to be careful. We need to be careful about the message that we send to our children, the message that we send to our grandchildren. We need to look to that their character be developed in God's way and not the way of the world. Malignity. We need to pursue not bad character, but good character. How can it be that someone would take away our crown? Well, to seduce or lie or to deceive into following these things of debate, deceit, maliciousness, and so on. It goes on to say here, whisperers, conniving behind the back, looking to work, to embarrass, to take one down, to defeat one, backbiters. And then it comes here, haters of God. That's another thing that's most evident in our culture today, in our land. If it holds a semblance of righteousness, it is talked down, yelled down, pushed away in every way from, if it's decent, if it's someone that has a sense of decency, they are the evil one. Goes on to say here, haters of God, despiteful or insulters, proud. We understand about pride, the pride of life, the power that men and women have in society and the circles that they would have, and money and influence and such as that. Boasters, braggarts. How can our crown be taken away? How can our reward in heaven laid up with the Lord be taken away? To be deceived into seduction, or to be seduced, or to be deceived, or to suck into the lie that it's okay to boast about ourselves. Tell you what, who do we have to boast on? Our Lord. Our Lord is the one that we have to boast on, isn't he? He's the one. Inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. There's so many things in the world that have been invented and have been figured out, have the Lord has allowed us to discover, to develop, to invent, if you will, that things that have been a blessing to us in our lives. Things that in and of themselves are, they're neither good nor bad. They're just there. It's what you and I do with them. We can take a car and we can use it very well, can't we? Go to worship our Lord, go to serve our Lord, witness for our Lord, provide for our families and get around, take somebody that's sick to the doctor, right? Or we can take a car and we can hurt people with it. We can rob banks with it. We can peddle and traffic in the illicit or the unlawful. It's not the car. It's what the person is doing with it. Here, this inventor of evil things, there is a wicked device that is a result of men. Taken from good things given to us and resources and such as that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with film, is there? And that's kind of a past thing, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with digital technology, is there? But when we use it for wickedness, then we have an evil thing, don't we? Then this, disobedient to parents. How is it that our crown could be taken away? To be deceived? To be lulled into the thinking that it's right to disobey your parents. It's right. It's my right if I want to disobey my parents. That's not what God says. What the Lord says is that the obedience to parents is the first commandment given by God to mankind with a promise. Obey your parents and you'll live long. Disobey your parents, buck your parents. When your parents hold forth what is right and what is true of the Lord, and you are shortening your life. God doesn't keep track of that. I tell you what, He knows how many hairs you have on your head. He knows your thought every moment. Mine and your thought every moment. He goes on to say here, without understanding. We'll look at another verse that connects with this. Without understanding. It's talking about being foolish. It also speaks of wicked, being wicked. It's a synonym for it. Or unintelligent. Just no sober understanding or reasoning. The Proverbs is full of content that tells about the fool is just kind of going along like the ox going to the slaughter. It just kind of, well, it's just another day. I'm going up this chute and boop. Just don't know. Just don't get it. Doesn't care. Has no comprehension of the warning that is at hand from the Lord. Covenant breakers. We see that today too, don't we? Make a deal. It doesn't matter if you need to break it. Without natural affection. We see this rampant in our day. It's been going on in our nation for decades. About how men and women can undertake to do away with the own fruit of their own loins, of themselves. They can kill their child. How could that be? and do it. And those that we see in the media and that support this kind of way, that they are emboldened in that. Is there forgiveness for that? There is. There's forgiveness with the Lord. With repentance, there's forgiveness. How can we lose our crown? Well, we can be deceived to go some wicked, wrong ways, can't we? We can be seduced. That could be an answer to a problem that's at hand. Implacable or truceless. This is kind of along in parallel or connected to the reference of debate mentioned earlier. Just will not get along. There are tribes of people in the world that are that way. They're just not going to get along. Brother Jim, that's pretty stiff. What did the Lord say about Ishmael? That's what the Lord said about Ishmael. Said he'd have an enemy on every hand. He'd be a wild man. Wouldn't be able to get along with anybody. That's what the Lord said. Truceless, will not, does not want peace, wants to be the dominator of all, will only make a truce when it suits themselves, and when they can rise up above, they will do it. And then we see here, unmerciful. How is it that others could take away our crown? Well, by representing unto us, being used in seduction and temptation by lying and deceit, that we follow after these natural way of men. This natural way of mankind. Again, is somebody going to take away your crown by promoting the Lord's way into us? No, that's not going to take away our crown. That's going to help us. That's the reason we have teaching. That's the reason we have preaching. That's the reason we have admonition and encouragement and fellowship amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, provoking to love and good works, a good example, a good pursuit. That's the reason. The Lord's way is not going to take away our crown, is it? But the way of man will take away our crown if we fall prey unto it. It's just like it says over here in Proverbs 1. Quickly, let's read this passage, Proverbs chapter 1. We'll pick it up here in verse number 8. This is what the world yells today. Young people, this is what the world is yelling to you. Let's go to verse number 7, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace, of favor unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. See, these things that we've read over in Romans 3 and Romans chapter 1, this is kind of an account of how it could go, okay? And this is a father speaking to a son. This is our Lord speaking to us. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, murder, deceit, and covetousness all rolled up there together, isn't it? Let's lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Yeah, the totally innocent. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. Merciless indeed. And whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We'll get their stuff. And we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. You know what will happen, young people? You know what will happen? You know what will happen when you get on the outs with them? The Lord save you? It'll be their purse then. The Lord says, work before Him and seek His face and His blessing for your own thing, not a common purse with others. And take that and use that in your life and use it for the Lord, honoring to the Lord. Cast in thy lot among us, verse 14. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't take the first step in that deceit, that seduction, that lie. For their feet run to evil and make haste. They go quickly to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. It's, understand it, son. I'm laying it out before you. It is a snare unto you. Surely, I pray you can see that it is, and it will be a downfall unto you. You know what? It's a blessing to have parents that know the way of the Lord and the word of the Lord. It's a blessing to have a church that stands in the truth of the Lord, of the Lord's word, and to take that and proclaim that. Young people, listen. You make sure you receive it. You make sure you believe it. Because if you don't, it'll be injurious to you. It'll be a detriment to you. It'll be a downfall to you, the truth that you receive here, not because of me, but because of the Lord's work in our midst. My son, verse 15, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. God's design is to work, not steal, not kill, not deceive. You know, sometimes, and each one of us have had the temptation that we've had to one degree or another, a particular job, offer, opportunity. I've had them in my life. To where if I went ahead and took that job, I could have made a real big pile of money. But it would have been a detriment to my family. I'd had to pursue a way that was dishonest. I would have had to sell out the things that the Lord had taught me out of His Word. And I followed that way, I would have had my reward, whatever there may be, taken away. May the Lord help us we don't go that way. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And understand that this is the case. This is the case, and it continues to go. We see it exponential by the day, it seems. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. How can we have our crown taken away? Our Lord warns us, let no man take thy crown. Don't lose those things that we have wrought. Let us not fall prey to philosophy and vain deceit. May the Lord help us that we not follow after the way of the wicked. Next time we're going to take a look at also about how in some cases and as we've already pointed out, but there's another passage that I'd like to get into about the deceptive way. You and I that are older, we heard it when we were younger, said, well, come on, it'll be fun. It'll be exciting. Your parents or your way or your church is just wanting to be too restrictive on you. The bill of goods that God's holding out. God's holding you up from a good time. It's been a bill of goods Satan's been selling from the beginning. Just over the hill is a better way and more fun and all that. And the Lord, it's a lie. The Lord is not holding out on anything on us. He tells us the truth right from the get-go. He told our daddy the truth, didn't he? There's a bait that is put out there. There's a bait. You and I have heard it. Well, don't you just want to be a little wicked? I mean, everybody needs to be a little wicked. just to enjoy wickedness for a while. Yeah, we've heard that. I heard that. I don't think I'm the only one. May the Lord help us in these things. May the Lord help us that we might look to Him, that we might understand the way of the flesh, the way of mankind. May we remember from the standpoint of what we have been delivered from, and that we not fall prey to lying, deceit, and seduction by the world, by people around us, the unsaved around us, the wayward around us, or the system of the world, the media of the world, that no man take our crown.